The innovative film production company, The Shooting Gallery, has closed its doors after a decade of independent hits and an edgy reputation. The Shooting Gallery began in a loft in Manhattan. It grew into a diversified small studio. In what could signal a shift in the movie business, employees received their pink slips via email from the Canadian corporation that bought The Shooting Gallery just last spring. From New York, David Darcy reports.
The Shooting Gallery was always more a reflection of its ambitions than its size, and it got plenty of attention. People who don't know the company's name still know its first hit, the 1996 film Sling Blade, which gave rise to dozens of forgotten imitations.
Well, I reckon what you want to know is what I'm doing in here. I reckon the reason I'm in here is because I've killed somebody. But I reckon what you want to know is how come me to kill somebody, so I reckon I'll start at the front and tell ye.
The Shooting Gallery produced films on a shoestring right in New York City. Last year's critical hit, You Can Count On Me, by New York playwright Kenneth Lonergan, was nominated for 2 Academy Awards. The company also specialized in finding an audience for hard-to-market art films. But last year, The Shooting Gallery put most of its resources into a new internet venture. It borrowed money and later sold the company to a Canadian mining firm looking to diversify into new media. Late last month, after the internet venture collapsed, the Toronto firm Itemus pulled the plug on the rest of the Shooting Gallery. Eamon Bowles was president of Shooting Gallery Pictures for the last 3.5 years.
I think the main thing that happened to Shooting Gallery was it kind of got away from its core business. And instead of being a very tight, fiscally run film production and distribution entity, it became this sprawling dot-com company. It grew exponentially in employees in the course of a year. And really the attention was sort of diverted to the dot-com side to really make money in the new technology. And when that crashed, the company's finances also took a major hit, from which obviously it didn't quite recover.
The Shooting Gallery was started more than 10 years ago by aspiring film directors and producers who went to college together. The first feature, which was shot and produced in New York, was Laws of Gravity, a $38,000 drama about petty criminals with a young Edie Falco in the cast.
You were supposed to go to court today, and you did not go to court today.
No.
You didn't go. You skipped out.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
You like it?
That's nice, Johnny. I like that very much.
Good.
Now, what was the reason you didn't go to court today?
The reason?
The reason you didn't go to court today. You're supposed to go, right?
I did not want to go, and that is the reason.
You did not want to go. That is the reason.
That's right.
Very good. That's a good reason.
Good.
The critics championed Laws of Gravity, so did young independents who copied it in film after film. And Shooting Gallery's founders championed themselves with lots of cocky break-the-rules attitude. Here's CEO Larry Maestrich when Laws of Gravity premiered in 1991.
We basically had our careers on the line, and they're having a fight at 8:30 in the morning, so I punched the lead actor, and told him to calm down.
Maestrich did not return messages left on his voicemail. Even the critics didn't love everything the Shooting Gallery produced. Does anyone remember The Minus Man? But they applauded the company's shrewdness in its plan to distribute new films that could best be described as obscure. The company launched the Shooting Gallery film series. It acquired films that had been passed over by other distributors and booked them into guaranteed 2-week engagements at Lowe's theaters around the country. The 2-week runs built audiences, and corporate sponsorships covered most of the initial costs. If a film did well, its run was extended. Larry Estes is in the same line of business with Outrider Pictures in Seattle.
We were both in the business at the independent distribution level, at least, of trying to provide an alternative to the large studio releases, which we all know are extremely expensive and mass marketed and not really designed to work for smaller audiences. There are, in my opinion, 2 kinds of movies made, really, and those the ones made by large, giant factories and all the others.
Among all the others, films were simply going unseen. One was Croupier, a dark, ironic English thriller by Mike Hodges that was dismissed by distributors, except for Eamon Bowles.
It turns out the original sales agent who had the film was not behind it at all. I think he referred to it as crappier, the British pronunciation is croupier, and it didn't play any major film festivals. It really was kind of shunted aside after its initial couple of screenings.
Critics and word of mouth turned Croupier into a hit. It was followed by hard-to-distribute movies like The Time of Drunken Horses from Iran and the small British film Last Resort. A recent Shooting Gallery release, The Day I Became a Woman, also from Iran and also in the film series, has been doing as well as Croupier so far. The series ended up paying its own way without compromising on quality, and the New York Film Critics Circle gave it a special award. When a company that's setting trends closes, people look for larger trends at work. Noah Cowan, co-founder of the independent film company Cowboy Booking, warns against blaming the wrong people for a corporate move.
I hope people don't take the lesson away from this that taking chances and coming up with great ideas is a fast way to failure, because the one thing that the Shooting Gallery has provided is a new model for distribution, new model for making movies in this town, and an incredible energy and enthusiasm for the motion picture process, and that's what we should carry away from this sad day.
Corporate cinema is taking a cue from the Shooting Gallery's experiment. It's imitating it the same way the studios try to imitate Sling Blade. Miramax Films, owned by Disney, just announced the Miramax International Film Series in partnership with Landmark Theaters with corporate sponsorship. In the entertainment trade, the question now is, who's next? Noah Cowan of Cowboy Booking doesn't see any domino effect, since he says capital never swept into the independent film field the way it flooded cyberspace.
I cannot say I believe that there is a independent film bubble. It seems as though what's being produced, more or less, is feeding the markets that require it. Really only in America right now does there feel as though there's a little bit of fat in independent film. But that's also kind of the American spirit. You know, it's always going to be a place where there's going to be a little bit more supply because everyone feels as though they can take the risk, they can have the gamble. And out of those risks and gambles comes films like George Washington, Benjamin Smoke.
Small films that Cowan's company happens to be distributing. Now that the Shooting Gallery's closed, Eamon Bowles is not leaving the film business. The challenge, as it's always been, is balancing quality and solvency, he says, and he sees some warning signs.
In the Shooting Gallery's case, the corporate sponsorship let us have more diversity and all these different films that maybe wouldn't have seen the light of day. So, but what I think you see happening with companies now, especially the Time Warner AOL merger, is if the corporation takes over, they're not interested in artistic expression. They're interested in corporate profits, and that's, you know, that's what it is. I mean, how do you quantify, you know, a camera movement? You know, you don't. You know, it's not, doesn't mean anything in dollars and cents. That's unfortunately where you're going. You can't show someone a film and say, look it, but it's beautiful, it's really well done. It's immaterial. Quality is almost just a byproduct, you know, that sometimes comes out of the commercial endeavor.
Deliveries of prints of Shooting Gallery films to some theaters have been suspended out of fear that the company can't pay its bills. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.